Lord, thank you for ears to hear, eyes to see. Thank you for the Holy Ghost. Thank you for this inner man that has been charged by heaven, that has come to us by way of heaven. May this inner man now receive everything you have for us today. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. We've been talking about, we're going to continue in, talking about the two, here Ash, the two, well, there's about five assignments that God has given me through from the beginning. And two of them, one of them is faith, teaching impartation of faith, teaching faith. And then the second one is the Holy Ghost, teaching the Holy Spirit. I received the Spirit in a very unique and special way. I received the Holy Ghost by myself in a bathroom at my house without any prayer reference, meaning I never heard anybody else up until that point pray in tongues. I didn't know there were people praying in tongues. I didn't know there were churches filled with the Holy Ghost praying in tongues. I didn't know that this was something happening in the world. This was so foreign to me that it had to be a result of faith for me to receive it, because there was no other way. There was no one to fake, no one to hear, no one to listen to, no one on that goes. But I read the scripture, and it got on the inside of me. And I started reading and seeing in Acts the mention of the Holy Spirit, and I started seeing in the book of Acts this power that the disciples all of a sudden had after this power came upon them. Now, it's different because the disciples were different before the book of Acts. Jesus had said, "Oh, you have little faith, only believe." They were amazed at the miracle work of Jesus. They did no miracles themselves. Not only did they not do miracles themselves, there were certain times where they had to go get Jesus because they didn't know what to do. Peter denied Jesus three times before the Holy Ghost. And then after the Holy Spirit, in Acts chapter 2, he stands up and defends with one of the most beautiful cases as a heavenly advocate, stands up and defends and proves that this is that spoken by the prophet Joel. Then he goes on to read the prophecy, or to quote the prophecy, because the scribes and the Pharisees were attacking them and attacking what was going on because they couldn't control it. So the Holy Spirit, in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, praying in a heavenly language, another tongue from heaven, is very precious to me. It radically revolutionized my life forever. It revolutionized, empowered me to be a Christian like I wasn't before. It is one of the greatest heavenly abilities that God gives you here in this century dispensation, present time. So, amen. Let's talk about it. Now, we know faith is this wonderful or gift and or operation of heaven to, where God gave us the ability to access the promises and provisions. Every promise and provisions, let's say it like this, comes through the wormhole of faith. Now, there's not really a wormhole, but for you to get an example or an idea, every promise and provision comes by way of faith. You can obtain nothing from God lest you receive it by faith. Faith is the avenue. Faith is the ability. Faith is means by which you obtain from God. Faith is the currency of heaven. So if you do business with heaven, meaning you're going to believe, you want to receive something from heaven, you do it with faith. You receive by faith. You believe by faith. So now let's bring in this great helper, faith's help. If we, when we begin to look at faith and the manifestation of faith or the fruit of faith, which would be, I believe for healing. I believe Jesus is the healer. That's not the fruit of faith. That's the beginning of faith, or that's the part of faith that you conceive the truth. You conceive an idea. I hear the scripture, and when I hear the scripture and believe that first part of belief is conception, pregnancy. I'm pregnant with an idea. I've received, conceived of an idea. It's literal. I believe it. In conception, it's gotten into your will. It's gotten into the part of you that is you. It's gotten into your belief system. It's gotten into, oh, come on. It's gotten into that attitude part of you, the unmovable part of you, the part of you that can't be moved, the part of you that it would be like this. If someone were to come to me now and they were to try to change my mind concerning about who I'm voting for in this next election, it would be impossible for you to do that, because I've already made up my mind, and my decision now is in my will. It's on the inside. It's in the fibers of my being. I've made up my, when you make up your mind, I'm pregnant with an idea. I've conceived. There's conception. There's something living there, that the answer is living on the inside of me. That's how it is at the first part of faith, conception. There's not the fruit of faith, it's conception. When a mother conceives and becomes pregnant, that's not the fruit. Now, there's a living organism, I think I said that correct, on the inside of her. There's life in her womb, but that's not the fullness of it yet. She now has to give birth to it, and when she gives birth to it, that's the fruit. We can say that's the fruit, or that's the harvest, or that's the fullness of that seed, what that seed can produce. We conceive an idea, but then God has given us within this ability of faith to produce the idea from the spirit man and regenerate this seed from the spirit man, out of the spirit man, and then from a natural man's mouth words do we give birth, and then God does the rest, and the fruit becomes fruitful, or it becomes a harvest for us. That's the fullness of faith. But understand, this is not a natural process. You can't. I posted this yesterday on a social media outlet. You cannot make the things of God common. They cannot become commonplace. Even the operation of faith. So many times, I don't know why people try to make faith common. Faith is not common. There's nothing about God that's common except for His body. The body of God would be common, if you will, but everything within that body is supernatural. Our God is above natural. Our God is beyond, superior to natural. He's a supernatural God. So the operation of faith then has to be supernatural, and you've got to keep faith. You've got to fight to keep faith in the supernatural realm. You need to, I'm going to say that again. You have to fight to keep faith in the supernatural realm. That's the miraculous realm, and this is kind of where I'm trying to get. When the Holy Spirit, the anointing, the Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit, the anointer, the one that gives power, the one that gives ability, the one that brings the supernatural on the scene, the Holy Spirit, this third person of God, the fullness of God in spirit, God without his flesh suit. When he's on the scene, there's miracles on the scene. This came out of my spirit Sunday. Miracles always accompany faith. And you got to get this idea when you say this. So like Dylan, when you believe for a house, you can't manifest what God has. It's not your job to manifest. He'll manifest. But you'll block it. You'll stop it if you try to get it to come through the mind of man or your natural mind. You'll stop it because it doesn't make natural sense. Rather, you have to understand that there's this element of faith that's supernatural, that's miraculous. So in order for a miracle to take place, we got to get out of the way. If you get in the way of a miracle, you'll block it, you'll stop it. There'll be a blockade to it. But when you get out of the way and you step back and say, I'm going to let God be God, now miracles can take place. And we have the heavenly equation, roadmap to how faith works. The kingdom of God works this way. Matthew and Mark talks about the fourth chapter. works this way. It's as a man from what he conceives allows that seed to come up out of his spirit into his mouth, and out of his mouth he gives birth to or releases the seed into God's trust. When he releases the seed into God's trust, words, phrases, verbiage, sentence, paragraph, when he releases the seed into God's trust, he releases it into miracle ability, miraculous ability. Now, man's job at that point is this, Dylan, you ready? Lord, you are my healer. Healing belongs to me. I've birthed it. Now, I got to step back and allow the miracle power of God. And I can't be involved with the miracle power of God. Because most likely when man gets involved, he's going to try to reduce it. You'll give birth to it, and then you're going to try to, it'd be like, you know, Kim and I have chickens, and my wife's very big into hatching chickens, different things. She's got to put that egg, and she's got to, now this is a little stretch, but you'll get it. She takes that egg, and within that egg, there's conception. There's a fertilized seed, but she now has to put it in the trust of an incubator. And in a sense, this miracle of birth takes place, but she can't be involved with it. Her job is to set the egg in the incubator or leave it under the chicken, the mama hen, and she's got to take her hands off. She's got to raise her hands and say, now, I can't do this part. You weren't created to do that part. You weren't created to recreate, to make a baby. You weren't. Now, I understand you can sow, give seed and you can fertilize all that. So I'm not talking about that. But I'm talking about the miracle part belongs to God. She puts it in the incubator, and I don't know, days, weeks later, you hear chirping out of the egg, and the chicken's in the egg chirping. How in the heck does it go from white egg to yellow egg, yolk-type stuff, slimy egg stuff, into a chicken? A furry chicken comes out of that somehow. How? It's a miracle. How can a house, how can you believe and give birth to a house paid for in full that you can't afford, you don't deserve, you know, without the blood of Jesus? You don't know how to get it, because if you knew how to get it, you'd already got it. You don't have the credit score, the means, and so on. But I can give birth to it, take my hands off it. Come on, it's very important you get this. When you take your hands off it, you allow the Holy Spirit to come on the scene. That's faith's help. That's faith's helper. You're not faith's helper. Yeah, you are to believe. The Bible says, to them that believe, all things become possible. I believe, therefore, all things are possible unto me. Me getting a house that's beyond me is not a big deal. Me getting supernatural retirement, a retirement plan that I didn't set up when I was 20, is beyond me. Me, and I can go, you know, on and on with that list. It's in the realm of God. It's in the supernatural realm of God. It's in God ability. But we've got to make room for the miraculous when we operate in faith. That's why certain denominations, when they reduce the miracle flow and reduce and stop the work of the Holy Spirit because they're ignorant concerning his ministry, they usually don't see a lot of things in faith, but they become professionals and business-minded, and they have a large organization, and they call it faith, but they're not doing anything in faith. They just have a great big bank account that they can build out of. They have a great big bank, and they don't have to believe anything in. It's the natural part of the organization that they've built through years and years and years that now can produce naturally. Oh, this is, I'm preaching better than what you're saying. I don't want natural produce. I don't want. It's like I'm a fifth generation Floridian. My children are sixth. My grandchildren are seventh. If you can Google later, Jacob Summerlin, king of the Florida Crackers. Because he was a cattleman. He wasn't a racist man, nor am I. You'll see the history of the Summerlins. He was born in the mid-1800s, the first non-Indian person born in Florida. I like things from Florida. It's kind of in me. When I go to the store, I don't want California oranges. I want Florida oranges. I don't want, come on, are you here? I don't want strawberries from Mexico. I don't have a problem with Mexico, but I want strawberries from Florida. Plant City is the strawberry capital of the world. I want strawberries from Florida. Now, when I believe for miracles, I don't want, or believe in faith, I don't want natural seed. I don't want natural fruit. I don't want things that come from what man can produce. My promise is in the kingdom of God. So I want things that come through or come from the kingdom of God, which it is a supernatural kingdom. A lot of you aren't receiving the healing. Now, God bless you. Even if we have even if we're in a wayward faith, Dylan, and I say a wayward faith, meaning we're believing mentally, we're believing with our mind, we're not believing from the spirit, we're not believing in the supernatural, we're not believing in the miraculous, but we're still believing. Well, glory to God, something in us is believing. But I'm talking about that inner man that's mentioned in Ephesians 3, that inner man, James talks about that inner man reflects something. What's he reflect? He reflects the image, the imagination, the ability of heaven. So that the natural man can get on board. So that the soul, your soul, your will, your emotions, your volition, your speech, your opinions, your attitude can get on board with that that inner man's ability, that inner man's, come on, are you here, that heavenliness in that inner man. Well, I just feel it stirring. Believe. It's easy to believe. God put a believing spirit in you. In 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, he said he's given you a spirit of faith. You got a believing spirit. You got a victory spirit. You got a winning spirit. You got an obtainable spirit on the inside of you. Already in new birth, God said, I'll put it in there so they can believe. I'll release it in new birth so that they can believe, so that they can obtain. God wasn't trying to withhold anything. God's not trying to make us run, jump through hoops or do anything else weird to receive anything from him. He's done everything he can possibly do to make faith easy so that we can obtain every promise and every provision that he has for us. God's already done that. It's already available to us. I'll get into this on Wednesday night, the scripture in Romans 8 that talks about of whom he predestined. Now, a lot of Calvinists have tried to put their seal and mark on that chapter, and they've misused that scripture. They've perverted and polluted. Now, I'm not going to come against today this Calvinistic demon. I know some of you right now are just fall out of your chair, spit your coffee out, and had a stroke or a heart attack. But I'm telling you right now, you have misinterpreted that entire chapter. But what God has predestined is the believer, when they come in on the scene of believing, they come in this regenerated being. When they come in this lifestyle by way of the blood of Jesus through redemption, God already, for every human being on the planet, has a perfect plan, has every miracle, has every need met, has every desire met. It's already been the word pre just means it's already done. God's already got it. You say, well, how do you know that? Well, the Bible says that God has steps to guide you into his perfect plan or will. Now, don't get all religious. You religious people say, well, there's our word will. No. Be very careful with the word will. God has a will, but a lot of you don't know what his will is. His will is supernatural. I'm having fun today. Hope you're listening. Hope someone's out there. I don't know. It's kind of weird. I'm speaking to three cameras and Dylan. Hopefully someone in the world is hearing this and getting excited. God has already every healing for every sickness or disease. It's already waiting for you. God has already, you say, well, how does he know? God knows everything from the beginning to the end and in the middle. God's all knowing. He doesn't need to hear information to know. He already knows. He already knows the answer, how you're going to treat. If you get sick in 27, he already knows how you're going to deal with that sickness. Are you going to believe or you're going to go to the doctors? Now, you can't fathom that level of God, that dimension of God, but that's who he is. God, Yahweh, is the very breath of life. He is everything, man. But this supernatural ability, the Holy Spirit that brings the supernatural element to faith. Back to Mark chapter 4. I'm not moving too far away from about four scriptures. I'm in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, Mark chapter 4. I'm kind of touching Hebrews 11, 1. I've touched Ephesians 3. I've touched Acts 1, 8, Acts 2, 1 through 4. So if you want to go back and make a study of everything I'm telling you. In conception, I've touched, that'd be Romans in chapter 4. In faith, I've touched Romans 10, 17. So we see all these moving parts. But when I give birth, call things that be not as though they were. Listen to this. Dylan, when you come to the place where you say, God wants me to have a certain style house, you got to figure that out. I don't know who God is to you. But you come to a certain place. I know God wants me to have 100 acres and beyond. I've already settled that. So now 100 acres is in the supernatural realm working itself out. But when you settle, now I can't, at this place in my life, I don't have faith for 1,000 acres. So I believe for it in the future. I talk about it, but I have absolute faith for 100 acres. I've already settled. I've worked that thing out, man. I've come to the place in my life where God can figure this thing out. Now I know he can do 1,000. I know he can do 10,000. I know he can do he can give me a city. But when I figure that out, I got to now get it into the supernatural realm, and I got to get my hands off it. I got to protect it in the sense of continually believing in the same realm I released it, in the same attitude I released it, in the same belief I released it. I got to protect it. I got to stay in that to keep it on its course. But I got to release it. I got to hand it to God in that supernatural realm. That's what birthing. I give it over to God now. Now, the Bible says in King James, Mark 4, around the 16th verse. You go to sleep and you wake up day and night. And you go to sleep, you wake up day and night. And the seed that you handed to God, don't see that seed as you just set it into the void of space and now there's magical power in the air. No, no, no. I handed that seed that I believed my future in, and I released that seed, that capsule of my future, into God's trust. And the Bible says that the seed, when it gets in that supernatural realm, it begins to produce in and of itself, because that's what God put in the miracle realm for it to do. And then it says, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, first comes, if you ever planted anything, first you get this little sprout out of the dirt. Man, that brings so much joy to you. You go ahead and plant some kind of fruit or some kind of vegetable, and you put a seed in the ground, and all of a sudden this little millimeter, maybe centimeter, a little piece of green comes out of the dirt, and you're cheering. Well, what happened? A miracle just took place. But God said, don't mess with it yet. Come on and preach it, because some of you can't keep your hands off it. You got to mess with it. Don't mess with it yet. Let it grow up. And if you leave it alone, you got if it's corn, it's a stalk. And you got this little, beautiful little leaf that's wrapped up this ear of corn that's beginning to come to fruition or its fullness. And then all of a sudden, when it gets to the full miracle state, where God's done producing what he promised, Now you can have it. Wow. But you take the Holy Spirit out of that equation, you take the power out of that equation. You take the Holy Spirit out of that equation, you take that faith's help out of that equation. The Holy Spirit works with the Word, causing signs and wonders to happen. I don't know about you, but if you say with your mouth, God, I believe you get me a house, and a house appears, something supernatural took place. And that's the realm, the job, the purpose, the position of the great Holy Spirit of the living God. I'm out of time. I love you. Thank God for you. Get in these meetings, man. Stop what you're doing. Get unplugged with life. Life is a distractor. That's all life's doing is keeping you on the highway of the natural. Unplug. There's a world coming. There's a life coming that's eternal. And all this natural stuff, the natural life, all the things you got wrapped up with, all the things that you got incorrectly involved with, all the things now that take all your time, you just got so busy away from God, that's not going to matter in this eternal life. What's going to matter in this eternal life is how you act now toward God, how you believe, your spirituality. That's what's going to matter for eternity. Well, God bless you. Until next time, sure love you. Pastor Rich, NewWayChurchFL.com. See you soon.